A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Studios in the Battery Atlanta. It's time for the Buck Blue Show here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7. What happened to the commercials and such between the shows, DT?
Quick turnover right here.
My goodness. I mean, I barely got time to put the headsets in.
Props on the locker room for getting out in a timely fashion.
My gosh, man. There's a show change going on here. But glad to be in on this Monday morning. Hopefully your week's off to a good start. A lot of people on spring break in Metro Atlanta, so the traffic situation, very nice out there. I'd give it an A-plus today on the way down as we get the work week started. And a real pleasure today. I've got my daughter, Audrey Ballou, in studio with me today. As she is getting set up and ready to go, she's going to host the top five a little later in the show. Audrey, you ready for this today? What's going on?
Nothing much. I'm excited to be here again.
Yeah, and then we're going to get you back to school. And you got a big test tomorrow, right?
Business stats two.
DT, did you ever have one of those?
No, thanks, Buck. Good luck, Audrey. You got it.
I need it.
All right, so great to have you in studio today as we make the show switch. And as I mentioned, a lot to get to. Let's go ahead and get it started, DT.
Bucks Big Take.
Yeah, the big take. The Braves got some good news yesterday. Catcher Sean Murphy, oblique strain is not severe. It's only a grade one, which is mild. And here's some more good news. The Braves have the best 1-2 catching situation in Major League Baseball with Murphy and Travis d'Arnaud. With d'Arnaud, there is absolutely no reason to rush Murphy back. If he's not ready to go after the 10 days on the IL, no worries, man. d'Arnaud's got it covered. And let me be real, Travis could start for 60% of the teams in Major League Baseball. 60% of them, he would be the everyday starter behind home plate. Anthopoulos was smart to bring him back on a one-year, $8 million deal. Call it an insurance policy, or insurance, as we say here in the South. Now, as you know, d'Arnaud is now 35. But he still has skills. He can catch. He can rake. And he's clutch. d'Arnaud can handle the job for 10 days with no drop-off behind the plate. And this is a tremendous luxury. And for those of you who like to call out the Braves for being cheap, I have heard that through the years. DT, you've heard this, right? The Braves are cheap?
Oh, yes, for a long time now.
Yeah. Well, pay attention. A lot of other organizations would have gone cheap with the backup catcher role because they would be expecting Murphy to catch, you know, 140 games. So they would go with the cheap alternative behind Murphy. Sort of like Chadwick Trump. Instead, the Braves splurged, bringing Darno back and $8 million this year. So the next time you want to call the Braves cheap, think about this. And there's your big take as we get the show started today. You see what I'm saying, right, DT? I mean, come on, man. Don't be calling the Braves cheap.
Yeah, it's been a lazy narrative now for quite a while. If you just look at the simple stats, they're pretty high up there in payroll. So.
And you agree, right? I mean, Darno's a guy that could be starting for most a lot of the other teams in Major League
Baseball.
Yeah, I like
that number. You said it's 60%. That sounds about right. Most teams, he would be the number one catcher. And also, we've heard Snit talk about how much he appreciates Travis Darno and mention him as a potential guy that could be a manager moving forward. That could also have some bearing on why he was brought back in this team. Everybody loves Lil D, so it's good to have him around.
Yeah, he's sort of the glue, one of those glue players that brings it all together. A great clubhouse guy, a guy everybody respects and likes.
Duke can still time up fastball.
Yeah, he can still hit, still catch. I've always appreciated the catcher that had an all-around skill set. You know, and so much of the time we see a guy, well, this guy can hit, and this guy can catch, but they can't.
You can throw on him.
Yeah, they can't do both. You know, they can't do both. You either got a defensive catcher, or you've got a guy that can swing the bat. So I've always appreciated the guy that could do both.
That's true for both of these guys we have, so that's nice.
Darno, an all-star World Series champion. He's won a Silver Slugger. He's been around the block. Played for some of these other organizations and just loves being with the Atlanta Braves. And we love having him here. Like Chadwick Trump, I brought his name up. See, he's one of the catch and throw guys. He's not known as his reputation is one where he's not really regarded as a guy that can swing the bat. And we've got two catchers. And I believe it's the best 1-2 combination in Major League Baseball. Sean Murphy, Travis Darno, 1-2 punch behind the plate. Critical position. Critical. Most teams would be freaking out right now if their starting catcher went down the first series of the season. Not the Atlanta Braves. All right, let's get to some Falcons talk.
The Dirty Birds are in our blood. And guys like Buck know what's happening in the huddle. Let's dive into Falcons football on The Fan.
All right, our Atlanta Falcons getting one day closer to the NFL draft, and the Falcons have a draft plan. I kid you not, they've got a plan. I know some of you listeners out there, we hadn't had a lot of success, all right? We've had a lot of losing seasons in a row, so a lot of people making fun of our Falcons. Do they really have a plan, Baloo? I would hear at the coffee shop. Yeah, they got a plan. I didn't say it was a good one, but they got a plan. And one of the plans they have in this draft coming up in roughly 3 weeks is the Falcons' draft plan is to add a quarterback. And as I understand it, when it comes to adding a quarterback, there are three decision makers. You got Terry Fontenot, the general manager. You got Raheem Morris, the new head coach. And you got Zach Robinson, the quarterback coach. And those three will get together and decide what quarterback they're going to take. Now, researching for the show last night, I ran across this with Michael Penix Jr. And if you've been listening to the show, you know I've got Penix rated very high coming into the draft. The most game-ready, plug-and-play quarterback in the draft is what I believe about Penix Jr. Well, the Falcons have secured a private with Michael Penix Jr. One of five teams to set up one of these private individual meetings where Penix comes to the campus and he sits down, he goes through the interview process in the meeting room, and they're breaking each other down. Falcons, one of five teams that have a private set up with Michael Penix Jr. The other teams, the Giants, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Steelers, and the Falcons. Now, this is a bad plan for the Falcons. Now, I'd love the Falcons to get Penix. But I know the Falcons aren't taking him with that eighth pick of the first round. And the next time the Falcons step up to the podium and make a pick is pick number 43. And let me tell you, Michael Penix is not going to be around at pick 43 in the second round. He's going to be long gone. So it seems like a little bit of a waste of time. Now, to me, on the surface, go ahead, DT.
I was just going to it's a very popular move for these teams that are high in the second round to move up into the back half or the very end of that first round. You get the potential of the fifth year. So that's a hot move in the NFL. Yeah. Any chance the Falcons are willing to depart with some extra capital to move back into the first round?
As if Penix would be around, say, pick 27, 28,
something like that, maybe. Yeah.
Well, it's looking more and more like there will be quarterbacks go in the draft 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. You got the top four guys off the board.
And that's good news for all the quarterbacks.
Bears with Caleb Williams with the first pick. You got Washington, the Commanders, with that second pick. I'm guessing that's going to be Jaden Daniels.
That's what Brian Kelly told us.
You've got Boston sitting there at 3. Will it be Drake May or maybe J.J. McCarthy? I'm going to say Drake May. And then you got Phoenix at 4, who's looking to trade out to one of these quarterback desperate teams. So I will think that is the first opportunity for somebody to trade up and take a quarterback. Maybe somebody falls in love with J.J. McCarthy. They do a deal with Phoenix and get up to number 4. Then you got the Giants at 6. And you've got the Broncos at 12 and the Raiders at 13. Dude, Michael Penix Jr.'s not getting past the 13th pick in the draft. So the Falcons can forget about it at 43. Come on, man. I believe that Penix's best fit is Denver with the Broncos and Sean Payton. I mean, he's an elite processor. He's a polished pocket passer. He's tough. He can take hard coaching, which is what you're going to get with Sean Payton. You got to be able to handle that. The Broncos need a plug-and-play quarterback with a high football IQ, a guy that can spin it. They're in the AFC West. Everybody's going to throw the ball around in the AFC West. And let me tell you, Payton don't want to be losing to Harbaugh. So I think that's probably the best fit. I look at the Falcons at 43. If they were to add a quarterback with a second-round pick, I mean, the only legitimate option looking like it to me would be Spencer Rattler out of Oklahoma and South Carolina.
What?
I don't look at Michael Pratt out of Tulane as being a serious option. Or Jordan Travis out of Florida State. That looks like a bad fit to me. Coming off a leg that got snapped in half. Spencer Rattler, and do you really want to go with a quarterback with your second pick, your second-round pick? I think this the idea of the Falcons securing this interview that's private with Penix is sort of a waste of time. Just trying to keep it real with you. And there's your Falcons talk today. All right, coming back on the other side, man, we're going to chop it up, take a look at this Philly series with the Braves going in there and getting a big first series win.
Awesome.
Audrey will hit the show as we do a top five, and we'll jump into some Georgia football, getting ready for G-Day coming up here in a few days. You got the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Good job, Hubbard. Well done. One take Hubbard, that's what they call him around here. Got the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. You probably know we're streaming at 680thefan.com. Click and watch the show. And get that Fan mobile app. You should have gotten it by now. It allows you to listen anywhere, anytime, crystal clear. So Chad out in Hawaii. Aloha, Chad. Got some of my fam down in Valdosta listening. with that Fan mobile app. It's driven by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. Beaver Direct, fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Let them wow you at Beaver Toyota and Cumming.
Time to talk Braves. Let's go chopping.
Yeah, let's chop this thing up, man. Braves getting that series win over Philadelphia. Don't you just love it? I know I do. I did not hear from Kincaid over the weekend. I'm not really sure why. I guess it's because we beat up on Philadelphia. Yeah, man. That was good stuff. Let's hear from Austin Riley after the game yesterday talking about this team building momentum already.
To be able to do what we did the last couple of days was huge. Just try to, you know, the biggest thing, you know, our long season is just continue to build momentum any chance you can get. And, you know, I think we did that going into Chicago. So, like I said, I'm very, very pleased with this first series.
Yeah, and the fan base is too, Austin. Job well done against the Phillies. Great to see Chris Sale get the ball, made his Braves debut. He had never played in this Braves-Phillies atmosphere before. I think he likes it. Sale went into the sixth inning, allowing two earned runs, struck out seven. He did good, man. I can't wait to see more. Here's Sale talking about playing in this Braves-Series rivalry.
It's full throttle, full tilt, for sure. We're talking about two of the best teams in the league. Two incredible fan bases. The atmosphere was incredible here this weekend. So, I'm assuming there's going to be some more of that throughout the year. And we look forward to that. That's what we want.
Sale was filthy, just as you probably expected, especially against those left-handed hitters. Can we just get Sale to the postseason healthy? Today we're in really, really good shape with the top half of that rotation, 1, 2, and 3. Looking good. Let's hear from Snit, the skipper, talking about adding Sale to that rotation.
When you got a team full of guys that are high energy and compete like they do, and to add somebody like that, man, it's pretty good. And, and then when I took the ball from him, I mean, he was out there with his teammates. It was really good. But, I can tell. The guy wants to win, and he's competitive. But that was just really good, really impressive.
Yeah, brings a little mean streak to this ball club, which is good. How about left field, man? Looks pretty good to me. Jared Kelnick getting off to a great start after a miserable spring training where he was making some adjustments with Kevin Seitz, the Braves hitting instructor. Or Kelnick, 5-for-7 in the series with a walk, on base 6 times. Playing a really good left field, too, defensively. I know a lot of the fans were concerned about Kelnick, wondering just how much they were going to see Kelnick after a spring that was very challenging. And try to put yourself in his shoes, right? I mean, you're with a new organization, so you're wanting to impress the people at work with a brand new clubhouse. You didn't know anybody when you got in here. So you're building relationships down at spring training, and you're changing your setup in the batter's box at the major league level. All those things very difficult to do. And to do them all at the same time, great to see Kelnick. It's got to be a confidence boost for him going 5-for-7 in the series. And I wanted to clean up what I believe a lot of talk about Kelnick and Seitz are making an adjustment. And I'd spoken about this a week or two ago where Kelnick was holding his hands really high up around his ear. And then his timing mechanism is he would, the pitcher winding up, and at the release, he would drop his hands down around the waist. So he'd go from the ears to the waist. And then he was rolling over a lot of weak ground balls to the right side of the infield. So Seitzer lowered the hands a little bit, but it goes deeper than that. The key to me is not lowering the hands, but it's the push back, the first move. When the pitcher is releasing the baseball, is pushing the hands back, not dropping them down. And it set him up for success, as you've seen in this series. Huge for Kelnick. And Duvall, what a big impact Duvall made right out of the gate. A big pinch hit double in that game one win. Probably not going to win unless Duvall delivers that double. And Duvall think we got a really good platoon going on in left field against righties and lefties. That is looking good. Some people up there disillusioned with Max Fried. Wanted to touch on this. Worst start of Max Fried's career. He got two outs. Forsnett had to come get him. Turd, I can say that. Right. No. It doesn't have anything to do with that. One of those days that's baseball, right? I mean, you expect the unexpected.
That's baseball.
Max Fried getting two outs. I never thought I'd see an appearance out of Max Fried where he got two outs before he exited the game.
That was shocking. And the lack of command, obviously, was a big part of that.
Yeah, 43 pitches, 20 balls out of the 43 pitches.
And how about that missed third strike call?
Yeah, and he could have got out of the inning with no runs if that home plate umpire had called a strike. Instead, he called a fastball right down the middle of the zone, called it a ball. And then the bottom fell out on Max Fried.
So. Luckily, the lineup was there to bail him out. So,
yeah, so Fried, I'm sure we'll get past this pretty quick.
And speaking of these offseason moves coming to fruition so quickly and reaping rewards, how about Jesse Chavez coming in and bailing out his
three innings?
Yeah, helping out Max, helping out the whole squad, really.
Yeah, he puts on that Braves uniform. Apparently, he's a different guy.
He's back.
Also, you had Ozzie Albies with a big series, couple of bombs, six RBI in the series. Good job, Ozzie. Loving that. If he's not one of the top five second basemen in Major League Baseball, then just don't know what to think about that exclusion. They must not know anything. They don't have Ozzie as one of the top five second basemen. Great start out of Ozzie Albies. Money Mike got off to a great start, too. Remember the lousy start he got off to last season and then dug himself out? Well, he's off to a fast start. 6-for-13 in the series. 5 runs and 3 RBI out of Money Mike. Yes, sir, Ray. Gotta love that. Thought everybody played pretty well. I mean, even Austin Riley, who went 3-for-13, had a couple of doubles. They pitched him tough. What are you going to do?
Playing good defense over there, as always,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, a couple of nice plays at third base. All in all, 2 out of 3 from Philadelphia. I want to thank the Atlanta Braves for getting that done for me. Yes, sir. And now the Braves wake up in Chicago for a 3-game series with the Chicago White Sox. A 2-10 first start, first pitch in Chicago against the White Sox today. And today the weather looks okay. Overcast skies, heavy rain likely late in the afternoon. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, looking at the weather report right here, Tuesday you got an 82% chance of rain tomorrow. Temps between 34 and 44. Not exactly baseball weather tomorrow. But wait. Wait for it. Wednesday, a high of 36 with a chance of snow on Wednesday. Man, I tried to tell the Major League Baseball home office that you need to be starting the season here in the South and out West. You don't need to be up in the North. The Midwest, weather's terrible, as Barkley would say.
Looks like the field will be wet. If it rains, it rains. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
I guess they didn't listen to me on this one. And nobody wants to play baseball with snow falling, temps in the 30s. Because if you're hitting, man, the pitcher, he's going to throw that stuff on the inside part of the plate. And if you don't square it up, your hands are going to be numb for about 10 minutes.
Wear 3 batting gloves on Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe?
And then the pitchers, they will allow them a little flexibility with the sticky stuff on days like that so the ball doesn't get away. By the way, Hoffman. Remember the name Hoffman, the relief pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, who came in and went headhunting on Ronald Acuna Jr. Whizzed a fastball in the upper 90s right over the top of his head. Acuna had to bail out. Collapse there in the batter's box or get hit in the head. Make a note of that. Hoffman with the Phillies. I'd like to take a swing at him. All 6 foot five of him. I'm lucky enough to have my daughter, Audrey, who is heading back to college today, but she came to work with me, and she's going to handle the top five today.
The best in college football and the NFL.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for Buck Ballou's top five.
All right, Audrey, what do you got for me today? Let's roll, girl.
All right, number one. Dad, it's time to come clean. How many of the Final Four teams did you really get right?
The answer to that question would be two.
That's not too bad.
No, I got UConn. That was sort of a no-brainer, right? Everybody probably had UConn in there going for the repeat. I want to know. I don't want everybody to know I took Purdue. I had faith in Purdue getting there. And I had a couple teams let me down, like the team I had to win it all, Arizona. Didn't quite get there, but hey, 50% rate. I know guys in this business that didn't get any of the Final Four correct.
You know, I was rooting for Mississippi State, but we didn't make it too far.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll get them next year.
Just call it a tough draw, girl.
All right, number two. Who's your sports dummy of the weekend?
Oh, the dummy of the week. Wow. This is sort of Finneran's thing, isn't it? I'm stealing it from Finneran. The dum-dum, I think Finn calls it. And let me just say there's a lot of competition for this. I would say there's a tie on this one. I'm going to go Major League home plate umpire Bruce Dreckman, who really put the screws to Max Fried in that start. He's the one that called that strike a ball where it was obvious to everyone watching the game. That pitch was right down the middle of the plate. And Fried didn't get out of the inning. Dreckman regarded as a mediocre umpire, and I hope he gets reprimanded for that one. And then I'm going to put that, he's going to tie with the Kansas City Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice, who was involved in that multi-car accident in Dallas, where apparently he left the scene. The police searching for Rashee Rice, he was in a Corvette, and he was racing a guy in a Lambo. They both wreck, and they both leave the scene. There's some other cars involved. What a dummy. What a dummy. A lot of competition for this dummy of the week.
All right, number three. Did anybody surprise you this weekend?
Surprise. I tell you what, man. You were there watching golf with me yesterday, the PGA Tour out in Houston. You dozed off.
Yeah, I think I was taking a nap.
Put you to sleep on a Sunday afternoon. But Scottie Scheffler, the number one player in the world, looking to win his third consecutive tournament, had not missed a putt the entire week there in Houston of 6 feet or less, had not missed a putt. And he had a putt on the final hole, a five-foot putt, to extend that tournament into a playoff with a chance to win. And he whiffed on it. I was stunned. And I know he's had some putting issues, but had not missed a putt under 6 feet the entire tournament. Anyway, he didn't put it in the hole, man. I was expecting to see Scheffler win three in a row, DT.
After that approach, we saw an 18 from like 185 out. Yeah. Everyone, including Mr. Yeager sitting there, expected him to make that putt, and it wasn't even really close.
Now, I'm a big fan of seeing the guy that has paid a lot of dues trying to make it on the professional tour finally get his first win. That is a great storyline.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Yeager had played with one of the Georgia players in high school up in Chattanooga. I think it was Chris Kirk. And so that was good to see. But I was stunned to see Scheffler miss that putt.
All right, number four. What athlete really stepped up big? In other words, who was your player of the week?
My player of the week. I'm going to go Zach Edey of Purdue, the big 7'4" center for the Boilermakers. He goes 40 points on Tennessee. 40 points, 16 rebounds against Tennessee. Talk about stepping up big. And I know, look, he's 7'4", it's tough for a guy 7'4" to step up big. He's already big, right? But I tell you what, I really liked it afterwards, too, when, you know, you advance to the Final Four. The players cut down the nets, and they bring out a ladder for the players and the coach to climb up the ladder and cut down the net. Zach Edey didn't need the ladder. First time I'd ever seen that, where he didn't even use the ladder. He's 7'4", man. He doesn't need a ladder cutting down the net. And then I tell you what else I appreciated after the game ended, the post game, where Zach Edey had obviously been a guy, an athlete that had been motivated by coaches when he was coming out of high school that told him, look, you're just not good enough to play at the D1 level. There were a lot of coaches that told him that. You're not good enough to play at the highest level of college basketball. And so Zach Edey ended up getting a scholarship offer at Purdue. And that motivated him during his time at Purdue. And DT, let's hear from Zach Edey talking about exactly that.
There were so many coaches that looked over me. Name a program, I can name a coach that looked over me. The Tennessee, Rick Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like, it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me, people look past me, and can't do that anymore.
Said that right, kid. You proved those guys wrong. And how about the fate that it was Rick Barnes that he took down to get to the Final Four? Had to be very satisfying for the Purdue Center. I told you, brother. That's what he's telling them right now.
All right, last but not least, drop some local college football news for us.
Some local college football news.
Good question, Audrey. We got to talk a little college football.
Yeah, we do it on this show every day, don't we? All right, I got a nugget for you. I got a nugget. No, don't hit that open, DT. I got a nugget for you. Local college football news. Got a quarterback out of Thomasville down in South Georgia. Went to Brookwood, private school there in Thomasville. Raj Waldrop, 6'5", left-handed quarterback. And I saw him play in the Georgia Elite Classic over the Christmas holidays. And he was the most valuable player in the game that involved the seniors. He was the MVP. And I became very interested in Raj because at this point in time, he had not received an offer to play college football. So I reached out to Raj. And so I've been sort of mentoring him over the last couple of months, basically just encouraging Raj, saying, look, keep the faith, keep the faith. It's not over yet. You might get a college offer. Well, over the weekend, Raj Waldrop got an offer from Georgia State to come play college football, and he has accepted that offer. Now, he broke the state's all-time single-game record for passing yards in a game, 698 yards in one game. Over 10,000 career yards passing for his high school career.
What?
And now he's going to get a chance to play for Jim Chaney, the new offensive coordinator at Georgia State, guy that has coached Drew Brees and a lot of great quarterbacks. Couldn't be happier for Raj Waldrop getting this opportunity.
Top 5 on 680 The Fan, Atlanta's sports station.
All right, Audrey Ballou, good job, girl.
Thanks.
Good job. Are you sure we can't make this a everyday thing?
I know. I wish we could.
Yeah, you better get on back to college, though.
Yeah.
Got that big test tomorrow. All right, let's get to the Bulldog beat.
The Fan's got a Georgia Bulldogs national champion on the beat.
25-20, first time like 15-10-5. Get in there! Touchdown!
This is the Bulldog Beat with Buck Ballou, presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union and attorney Ken Nugent.
All right, Bulldogs, they have gone through 9 of their 15 spring football practices. Getting ready for G-Day coming up soon. They had a scrimmage on Saturday. And I had a source that was allowed in to see the scrimmage this past Saturday. The source, my high school buddy, longtime friend John Bond, who went on to play quarterback at Mississippi State. He is a legend out in Starkville. And Bond has a son that is somehow a big fan of the Georgia Bulldogs program. So Bond was able to get his son into the scrimmage on Saturday and actually get down on the field and take some photographs with his son and Kirby Smart. And Bond was hitting me up with some text messages, and I know he put this up on social media, put it up on X, and saying, what do you think, Baloo? And my first thought was, heck, dude, I played there, and I've got two sons. We never got that kind of treatment over there. So Bond able to help me out with a little inside information on what he was seeing over there at practice. Bond may not get in again because of this, by the way. But helping me out because there's some players that I'm really anxious to see play on G-Day, and they're both on the defensive side of the ball. You've got a sophomore outside linebacker, edge rusher, Samuel Mpemba, who is a guy that came out of the IMG program, considered Tennessee, Alabama, Arizona State, Michigan. Tells you what kind of player he is with the teams that were trying to hit him up, trying to give him a scholarship. Georgia looking for some edge rushers to stand out and take charge in the upcoming season. Here is one guy that I have not had a chance to see. So I'm looking forward to seeing Mpemba when G-Day rolls around. And then the other one I need to see more of is Jalen Walker, who is sort of a hybrid outside linebacker, inside linebacker. He is a guy that missed last spring because of a labrum injury that he had, and then this past season was able to get on the field and actually led Georgia in sacks with 5.5 sacks last season, coming off the edge. 11 sacks. Now, he had 2 sacks and 11 snaps against Alabama in the SEC championship game. 11 snaps, 2 sacks. Got like that rate, right? And he's flashed some of those pass rush skills last season. The coaches believe that he eventually is going to end up an inside linebacker. But you're going to see him playing some inside linebacker with the dime package. This coming season, you're going to see him in there on third down, passing situations. When they put the dime on the field, you're going to see Walker out there playing the middle linebacker role in that scheme when they have that dime package out there. If you're looking for a comparison, I keep hearing Bucky plays a lot like Quay Walker, who we did not hear a lot of until his senior year. Quay Walker ended up being a high-round draft pick for the Green Bay Packers, where he's playing some big-time football. So looking forward to seeing Mpemba and Walker, two guys I need to see some more of as G-Day comes up in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to seeing that. All right, coming back on the other side, man, we got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to fill the gaps. You got the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Fan 680 and 93.7. We got that big golf tournament in Augusta coming up.
Hello,
looking
friends.
Forward to that. And mastering Southern hospitality for over 17 years. Club Magnolia, the best place to be off the course in Augusta this April. As we turn the page today, the ultimate Augusta hospitality can be your exclusive private sanctuary, boasting top tier amenities and service. Don't you love it? Perfect oasis of both indoor and outdoor VIP service. New in 2024, Club Magnolia 19. Our after golf experience Wednesday through Sunday is just awesome. You can join today. Limited memberships available to experience hospitality at its finest during one of the most recognizable events in the world. Go to clubmagnolia.com for full details, and I'll see you there.
Let's find out what's popping.
Yeah, what's popping on this Monday? Got a big-time women's basketball game tonight as we get a showdown between LSU and Iowa. So you're going to have Caitlin Clark, the Lady Hawkeyes, taking on Angel Reese, the Lady Bengal Tigers. This is a rematch from a year ago when LSU won a close one in advance to the Final Four. Iowa looking to get back at them. ESPN's got it at 7 o'clock tonight. This is going to be intense. This is going to be fun.
I don't recall many women's college basketball games, if we're being honest, but I recall this one from last year. Very controversial, very intense. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Should be a lot of fun tonight.
Let's hear from Caitlin Clark talking about facing LSU again.
I think we're excited. I think, you know, anytime you have a chance to go up against somebody you lost to, it brings a little more energy. But at this point in the tournament, every single team is good, whether you're playing West Virginia, whether you're playing Colorado, whether you're playing LSU. You prep the exact same way. You come in with the same exact mindset. And I think overall, it's just going to be a really great game for women's basketball. And they're really solid 1-5.
Caitlin Clark, boy, talking about an intense competitor. And then you got LSU. They've got some of those two, Angel Reese. It's been portrayed through the media that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, they don't really like each other. Here's Angel Reese talking about that.
Me and Caitlin Clark don't hate each other. Like, I want everybody to understand that it's just a super competitive game. And, like, I just wish people realize that, like, once I get between those lines, it's no friends. I have plenty of friends on the court that I talk to outside of the game. But, like, when I get between those lines, like, we're not friends. We're not buddies. I'm going to talk trash to you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get in your head the whole entire game. But after the game, we can kick it. Like, I don't think people really realize that. And that's fine. I'll take the villain role. But I know we're going women's basketball. And if this is the way we're going to do it, then this is the way we're going to do it. You like it or you don't.
7 o'clock tip. LSU and Iowa going at it, Mrs. And then USC and UConn, the other matchup tonight, 9 o'clock tip. And that one, the winners advancing to the Final Four. We've got South Carolina undefeated already in the Final Four. They'll be taking on NC State, the women Wolfpack. How about that, NC State with the men's and women's teams advancing to the Final Fours? Georgia, by the way, in the NIT, the men's basketball team, that's in Indianapolis. Georgia going to be taking on Seton Hall. That is tomorrow night, 9:30. If you're a gambling man, Seton Hall favored by 4.5. That's where Road Dog is. He's up in Indianapolis getting ready for that game tomorrow night in the men's NIT. I'll be the only host in Atlanta talking college baseball today as the Georgia baseball team dropped a series up in Knoxville against top-rated, one of the top-rated teams in the Tennessee Volunteers. Georgia won game one 16-2, dropped games 2 and 3. And they're going to be in Stark, Vegas this weekend, taking on Mississippi State, who lost their series in Gainesville, Florida, to the Gators this past weekend. Ford Leadoff Show with the Braves and White Sox, 12:55 today. We're going to hand the ball to Charlie Morton. Weather should be fine today. It's tomorrow and Wednesday that are not looking good right now. Let's get to the final word.
Time for the final word. Brought to you by Howard Brothers, keeping Georgia green since 1955.
All right, I checked out the 680 The Fan office bracket pool, and here's what I found out. Got a couple of sales guys in the overall lead. Danny Apple does a great job in sales. He is leading right now. Also, John Hodges looking good. If Purdue wins, Haji will win the 680 The Fan bracket pools.
I got to make my paper.
Pay attention to Purdue. Right now, as far as the on-air hosts go, yours truly in the lead. Blue in the lead with the on-air host with the 680 The Fan bracket pool.
No shocker there, Buck.
Yeah, not trying to brag or anything.
You know, play that man his money.
Just trying to keep it real. All right, that's going to do it for my show today. We appreciate my daughter, Audrey, for stepping in today. Thanks, Audrey.
Yep, it was fun.
Great job, Audrey.
DT, our engineer and our producer today, a dual role. Hope they're going to double your salary today, DT. It's going to do it for me. We've got Cellini and Domino coming up next. Stay tuned for that here on The Fan.
Thank you, Buck.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.